You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Ali Moreno here in the studio. Later on in the show, we'll be looking ahead to El Clasico this weekend, of course, on Sunday at the Santiago Bernabeu, Real Madrid taking on Barcelona. But we'll kick things off in the FA Cup. The first semi-final is an intriguing one tomorrow at Wembley. Manchester City taking on a Chelsea. This is, of course, a game you can see live on ESPN+. Our coverage starts at 11:45. City's first match, of course, since being eliminated from the Champions League. There were interesting quotes after that game when Pep, of course, said that Erling Haaland asked to go off after 90 minutes. He addressed that quote again today.
Erling felt something, a muscular issue. And that's why he asked me I could not continue. And Kevin, the last minutes as well, felt exhausted, so tired. And after what happened, 5 months injured, so that is normal. But we'll see tomorrow.
With Manchester City playing so many big games, not just this season, over the last few years, is it a concern when two of your most influential players can't finish the 120 minutes in a big, big game, and when players like Rodri come out and say they're tired?
It's normal. You know, the amount of games we have played this season and the previous seasons, and the not much recovery and extra time and high intensity, the way we played, we put a lot of pressure in our game, and that's why the fatigue is there. They are human beings. So they are not a machine, so they are human beings, and sometimes the fatigue is there.
For all this, Ian Dark joins us. Ian, what's been made in England of Erling Haaland being asked to be taken off?
Well, it is a surprise, isn't it? I mean, he didn't feature that much in the game. He does look a bit fatigued, but you'd think Manchester City are used to this kind of thing at the end of a season, but it seems to be, from what Pep is saying, affecting him a little more, maybe, than the others. I mean, I think this is an interesting semi-final because Chelsea this season have drawn 4-4 in that thriller at Stamford Bridge and 1-1 at the Etihad. And they've run into a bit of form as well. And, you know, with the whole Cole Palmer scenario here, with him going back in prime form and now joint top scorer of the Premier League, and City fans wishing maybe he hadn't gone, it's beautifully set up for a game. But, you know, how well have City recovered mentally from what happened against Real Madrid in the penalty shootout?
Ian, your internet is flawless today. I'm sure there'll be no problems as we continue.
Well, keeping the conversation of the fatigued.
Yes, indeed. Obviously, this internet is fatigued. Is that where you're going?
Certainly not fresh.
No, it's not. Speaking of not fresh, how are you?
That's some niggles. Niggles.
I've already done an hour today already.
Yeah, we've already done one
show. On edge.
This is a bright. You're born on edge, Burley.
I'm not on edge. apart from the fact we were late starting. But that's just a small thing. I'm not mentioning it. What was I going to say? Yeah, he didn't have to offer up the ask to come off.
Right.
He didn't have to. He could have just... And I suppose in some sense that is kind of... Maybe he was looking for a bit of an out. I don't know why he would say it. Because he could have said, after the game, which he did straight away, Guardiola in the press conference, he could have said, look, both of them have got niggles. They had niggles, so yeah, decided to take them off. He offered it up. Well, they asked to come off, almost like, you know, I would prefer to have kept him on, which, you know, we don't know what the end line is here with them, how struggling they were, and could they have continued? I don't know. I just find the whole thing a little bit strange. He did have an illness the week before, De Bruyne. And
he didn't start the first leg.
I don't know how much is in it. What we do know is they're out, and he never had those two at the end. But I think they will have recovered. They've had these bumps before. They've been knocked out of Champions League before by poorer teams in Real Madrid.
Right.
Before they won it last year. They were favourites and favourites and favourites, and I think it was Lyon that knocked him out, and all these teams have knocked him out. So they'll recover from that. I don't expect much difference than a dominant City performance.
Do you agree, Ali?
Yeah, and I think
I'm not sure that Manchester City looks at it from this sort of perspective, but it is important for them to learn from the failings of Liverpool, that they carried a poor performance in Europa League onto a poor performance in the league. Mm-hmm. So the worst thing that you want to do if you're Manchester City is carry negative momentum into now what it's remaining, your remaining cup competition in FA Cup. And it's a semi-final FA Cup. It's a big deal. It's a big moment. And by the way, mind you, they're not guaranteed to win the league. And so you start looking as to what are the possibilities of Manchester City in terms of winning something this season. Well, you're two games away from winning FA Cup. So I want to focus on this, on Chelsea. And I imagine, and I'm with Craig in this, I imagine that if you're Manchester City, you're able to focus more easily on this match because of your failures in midweek. And right. It forces you to now put all your attention into this match against Chelsea. I would be more concerned about Manchester City if indeed they had advanced in Champions League and they were sort of overlooking Chelsea. I don't think that happens now because you lost. And what is the other option for Manchester City now against Chelsea? You have to refocus, get it right, get yourself mentally and physically ready to play. And if you are anywhere near your best, you should be better than Chelsea.
That was a great face, wasn't it?
What face?
Guardiola.
Yeah, it was very you. Anyone else is talking.
I have to be honest. No, that's how I could have come on this room. When we opened up the start of the show today.
Yeah, like that. Open mouth. He had his mouth open a bit as well.
And somebody was talking, which I'll say that's you.
Yeah.
And he's just looking.
Yeah.
This is my week. Utterly bored.
Right.
Somebody talking.
Okay. Right. But I'm not quite sure where we're going. And which direction are we taking?
Face. Did you know he just hates press conferences?
Yes, clearly. Yeah.
I know it can be very mundane.
Yes.
Yeah, I was having a little grin when Ali was talking because I had just got this vision in my head
right.
with Ian's internet.
Right.
That we come back and. And we go back to Ian, and in the background, I don't know why I'm thinking this, but Don Hutchinson is trying to fix his internet.
Oh, really? Don and Stevie. Get them both around there.
What could possibly go wrong?
Let's just get this vision.
Ian, what have you made of Haaland's dip in form?
Well, you know, the guy's hit, 90 goals or something since he got here from the start of last season. Every player, I think, at some point will have dips in form. But he hasn't quite looked as sharp this season. That must be a little bit of a worry for Manchester City. But I don't think it's anything that they're going to be, you know, being very, very depressed about, Manchester City. I mean, I think he's going to come back to form. And if you're a rival manager, you're probably worried about that stat, because anytime soon he's going to probably knock in 4 or 5 goals in a game again.
Yeah, that's it. He's always going to be a threat. He's always going to be there, isn't he?
As long as there's service. And see, that's the other thing. See, we focus on Erling Haaland, rightfully so, because when you go through a quarterfinals of Champions League and he is nowhere to be found, and he was nowhere to be found, that's the truth. Whether that's the job of Antonio Rudiger or Nacho or whoever else or whatever Real Madrid did defensively, they're wearing many signs of life from Erling Haaland. So that's going to bring a whole lot of attention. But this is a guy whose skill set does not include, I'm going to turn, I'm going to get the ball, I'm going to dribble 3 guys and I'm going to create a chance myself. I need service. And you don't see Manchester City often providing service. An early cross, whip the ball across, put it in and allow your big guy to go and get it. That's not part of their makeup as a team. And it's something that they could utilize to broaden their spectrum and their variety of attack. They want to pass through teams. Eventually, if you have a guy that can be dominant in the air, that can be dominant attacking a ball inside the 18-yard box, put it in there. Just for a change of pace and just to give him a little bit of life, a little bit of, hey, here you go. It's a little something, a little nugget to keep you entertained, to keep you excited to be out here so that you can continue to make your runs. You don't do that as a striker, you lose interest. And in the case of Erling Haaland, he's just not often used in the place that he's most dangerous, and that's inside the 18-yard box.
It's not like we finished the game and we went, well, look at the chances he missed.
Yeah.
The best chances he failed to fill in this game.
Mm.
They had Phil Foden and Kevin De Bruyne.
Yep.
Kevin De Bruyne got himself a goal, but missed an even easier chance, really. Midfielder coming onto it, side foot, no real pressure, just got to keep it down. Blew his chance. And, you know, we've always talked about this, you know, Haaland and the form. And I've always said the biggest problem for them is they lost 4 goals over 2 games to Real Madrid. And the old will outscore the opponents. doesn't really fly. And a lot of times when you're playing against these elite clubs, so they can look at the mistakes they made defensively rather than any chances. I mean, Erling Haaland didn't really miss in the two games any sitters because he had the header that hit the bar, but he was really shepherded well in Bernabeu. And as Ali said, they never got a lot of service to him in this game. The chances fell to other people and they fluffed their lines.
Meanwhile, for Chelsea, they come into this game, of course, off the back of that big win against Everton, a win that was somewhat sullied by that argument over the penalty. Pochettino addressed that ahead of the match.
As in, I made clear after the game, we had a meeting with all the players and staff, that they were involved, also the sporting director there, Paul and Lawrence. And I explain my feelings and in the way that I'm going to act in the future if something happen again like this. In some point, was an image that you don't like, but in another point, it's good if the player want to take the responsibility and take the penalties, show the personality and the character of the team and the players. But they need to respect the rules. The discipline is so important, and in the way that they approach or they wanted, you know, to do the things, or they did, was in a very wrong way. That is why it's so important for them to learn and for us to, you know, to apply the common sense and the discipline, and then to act in a different way in the future.
That's it, surely now, yeah.
You see, he walked out of a press conference.
Right.
I think it might have been the night of the game, and somebody was banned because of shouting a question about it. I think it might have been Neil Barnett.
Really?
Somebody was banned anyway. So they were all a bit touchy about it. In fact, it was embarrassing, though, wasn't it?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I mean, Cole Palmer obviously has been sensational, and, you know, I think did he get a hat trick or did he get four? I can't remember. How many he scored in the game.
Yeah, he got the four.
You know, for Madueke and Nico Jackson to be doing that, they just wanted a heavy slap. They needed somebody to take them to the side and bang their heads together. It's embarrassing. It's all me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Me, I want... This is about me rather than, you know, just letting this young lad, who, by the way, is carrying a lot of them, pretty much. So it was embarrassing, and I think it tells you how it's a little... You know, there needs to be a bit more leadership in there.
Yes.
Both from him, Pochettino, and some of the players. And that's the bottom line. Somebody, you know, normally somebody on the field there, I mean, John Terry, captain for years, or Frank Lampard, there have been others, there have been many. Even if Thiago Silva, you know, in his heyday, would have been like, hey, come on. Just absolute stupidity.
And that guy happened to be Conor Gallagher.
Yeah.
Actually stepped in. And you assume that, okay, well, that's where the leadership is coming from. But due respect to Conor Gallagher, look, he's got his own issues as well. And I appreciate the fact that he steps in and said, no, give the ball his...
Yeah.
There's not too many people taking much notice of him.
Correct.
I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way in the Chelsea team.
Right.
Rather than going, oh, you know.
So, well, yeah, we don't understand. Ian, what did you make of it all?
I think it was embarrassing, just like Craig said. It makes me laugh, you know. The teams have dossiers 9 inches thick about how everybody's going to play and the opposition. They don't know who's going to take the penalties. I think you've got to blame the manager. That should have been made very, very clear to all the players beforehand. Any penalties, Cole Palmer, 100% record, he takes them. So what kind of egos are getting involved here, trying to grab the ball to score the fifth goal? It's typical of Chelsea this season, really, that even on a game where they've won 6-0, they end up with this shenanigan going on.
Shenanigans. What a great word.
Those two would be... I'm being serious. You think those two... Do you remember, was it... This is the Do You Remember segment.
OK, good. Right.
Cole Palmer might have been against Man City. He took one.
Yes.
But can you imagine the other two stepping up? Say it's, you know, the FA Cup semi-final. We're doing it the weekend. And it's on the line. Because that wasn't on the line, was it? This was a washout. Everybody can take a penalty. But can you imagine them doing it like... having an argument when their bottle was called into question, when the pressure was really on and there was 100,000 there or whatever it is, and they might be sending their team home or out of this competition. They wouldn't be doing that.
Right.
Well, you know it's going to happen, though, right?
Yeah.
They're going to go to penalty. Yes. And Madueke and Nicholas Jackson are going to have to take a penalty. It's going to happen.
Right, then. How did Chelsea approach this? How do they beat Man City?
Well, a couple of the big performances this year, and they've not been many, have been away from home when everyone, including myself, has thought that they're going to crumble. One of them was the FA Cup at Aston Villa, where this performance really came out of the blue. And one of the reasons it came out of the blue was the way that this Chelsea team did not sit back away from home against a Villa side, I think at the time, they might have been unbeaten, or Newcastle had just beaten them. But they went up there and they believed in themselves and they pressed Aston Villa and they were on the front foot. And they did the very same thing at City. Yes, City had a lot of possession. But you watch how Chelsea got numbers around the ball. And it really got in City's head. It certainly got in Villa's head. Now, they've got this game against this team at the weekend. And what Chelsea were going to see? Are we going to see one that just allows City to do what they want? Are we going to see one that presses in numbers like they did against Villa, like they did against Man City away? It got them a result. He knows they're not going to dominate games against these kind of teams. But you're in a conundrum. How do we approach it? And I think the way they approached those two teams, two of the, you know, of the four best teams in England, away from home, when everybody thought, nah, you're going to get a bit of a pummeling today, and they went out and they took the game to them and they harassed them, they put them off the stride. A little bit like Liverpool did to City at Anfield. Mm. We've rarely seen City as flustered as we did that day. They got away with it to an extent. Have Chelsea got enough belief to go to Wembley and do something similar and say, you know, this team have had a big game in midweek. They lost. They're upset. The pressure's on a little bit, you know, because they're out the Champions League. We can go and we can really get at them. Or do Chelsea say, I'm not quite sure we can do that again, sit off and probably get beat. So I'm intrigued to see if they've got the stomach to go and try and take some of this game to Manchester City. I've no idea how they'll approach it, but that was certainly had some semblance of success for them at Villa Park and at the Etihad.
Let's take a look, shall we, then, at how everyone thinks this game is going to go. We asked their predictions. Everybody believes that Manchester City are going to win. I mean, you're the same, Craig.
Oh, that's nice. So clearly, clearly nice. What they did was they didn't take the pressing game.
And clearly, everything you said has just been wiped out by your prediction.
That's normal.
Ian, you've got it the tight right. You've got to go to extra time.
Yeah, well, I'm remembering as well. Craig's talking about how well Chelsea played at Aston Villa there. Remember how well Chelsea played until extra time in the Carabao Cup final against Liverpool? You know, there were chances at both ends that could have gone either way. They've done well, really, in games against the bigger clubs. I mentioned earlier the 4-4 against Manchester City at Stamford Bridge. And Chelsea, confidence up at the moment, as much as it can be after this kind of weird season that they've had. I think they're going to give a very good account of themselves in this game, and I could see them running City quite close on the day.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Of course, we'll get a result on the day, won't we? However, news breaking that next season, in previous rounds, of course, you would have a replay. That isn't going to happen anymore. It'll be one-off matches. FA Cup war, the FA Cup decision to scrap FA Cup replays angers EFL clubs. We've talked about abandoning the whole competition, actually, since this announcement. Ian, you, of course, followed the FA Cup, commentated on it for many a decade. What do you make of this decision?
Well, it's another land grab by the Premier League, isn't it? It's a disgrace, really. It's a slap in the face in the tradition of the FA Cup. There've always been replays. I mean, I think the FA started to disband the FA Cup, you know, in its greatness, really. The year they let Manchester United opt out of the competition to go and play in that kind of make-believe world club cup thing that was going on somewhere in Central or South America. I can't even remember now. That was a disgrace. And they've done this really without really consulting a lot of the clubs in the EFL, the Football League. So I think they've got to look at this again, really, because they're close to having a bit of a revolt on their hands.
What do you think, Craig?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of ways of looking at it. I think the anger and irony is coming at it from the fact that, as Ian said, the bulk of this seems to have been done between the FA and the Premier League, right? It's everything's to suit the Premier League. Now, if you're looking at the replays, how many replays actually happen for these smaller clubs and how much money do they get out of it? I think it would be quite a small sample. But then, if you're going to do away with the replays, more money has then to be guaranteed to filter down. Mm-hmm. I saw somebody pointing out, if some of these clubs need the replays to keep themselves alive, then obviously they've got to look at the way they're running their ship and their business model. I'm a little bit conflicted because of the whole schedule, but what I don't like, the one thing I don't like about it is how these governing bodies, and particularly the Premier League, can sort of wield its financial muscle and obvious strength and dictate what's happening at all the other stages of the pyramid. And it's already got enough power, more than enough power. And so it's a difficult one because we are seeing clubs playing a lot of games. But why should that affect the lower league clubs in English football when there's not more money being filtered down? I think I wouldn't have so much a problem with the no replays if the Premier League were guaranteeing there was even more money filtering down to all these clubs. I would have a less of a problem as it. But we know they're not doing that. They're holding as much of the money as possible.
And the argument of playing a whole lot of games loses value and loses its weight when you consider that it isn't all the teams in the Premier League that are playing a whole bunch of games, because not all the teams are involved in Champions League, not all the teams are involved in Europa League or Conference League if you want to take it that far down. And so how many of these teams are actually having this number of games that make it worthwhile, or at the very least push it to the point to where you have to make a decision to disband the replays? Now, I would say that in Copa del Rey, they disbanded the replays. Yeah. And what they did is mandated that all the games would be played at the lower tier opposition or whoever lowest ranked home team or home stadium. And you go through 90 minutes, and if nothing happens, then you're looking at extra time or you're looking at penalties, and that's it. Games and match. And it seems to work in Copa del Rey. I don't know that there was as much historical pushback as there is here in the
FA Cup. They won't like that, Ali. Won't like that.
I would like to see that.
Ian's thrown his internet.
No, I'm just saying what happened in Spain, just for context.
Yeah, I like that, and I like the fact that, you know, if you're any team, you go away to the smaller team, whether it's the National League or League Two or whatever, you're automatically you're going down there. I do like that idea, but it's just there's no easy answer.
There never is, Craig. There never is, is there? It is a super soccer weekend.
Oh, what?
I don't know what
it's super.
It's super.
Something.
On ESPN Plus, four games for you. The aforementioned Manchester City against Chelsea is tomorrow. Our coverage starts at 11:45 Eastern on ESPN Plus. And what a debut on Sunday. Coventry against Manchester United. Dortmund take on Bayer Leverkusen. And it's El Clasico, Real Madrid against Barcelona.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Speaking of El Clasico, let's look ahead, shall we, to Real Madrid against Barcelona. Tension in the dressing room, says the front page of Sport. This is, of course, after Gundogan criticised Araujo and the manner in which he got sent off in that big Champions League tie. Araujo hit back and said, look, I live by a code of ethics and I'm not going to say anything about it, but I don't feel this is right. Gundogan responded today to what Araujo had to say. Here he is.
You know, that's how the most successful teams develop, you know, and improve by communicating, you know, by looking into each other's eyes, you know, and speaking for the benefit, you know, of every single person. But also at the end of the day, the ultimate target is for the benefit of the club, you know, because we are all here to make the club better, to bring the club in the best possible situation, you know, and to be successful. And I think from day one that I'm here, everyone is aligned with that. Of course, there are sometimes situations, you know, where you have to clear things. But the intention from every single person in this club is very genuine towards the success of this amazing club. And that is just to reach our potentials, you know, and to try to win as much as possible.
Ian, back with us. What's interesting, Craig, that he had that this interview was almost an opportunity to say, look, I shouldn't have come out and said it. I should have kept it within the dressing room. He hasn't. He's doubled down on it and said, look, I want to get this team better. And by doing this, this will help.
No, I completely disagree. By harnessing good team spirit is if you're going to have a disagreement or a bit of a scrap or be frustrated, you do it in the dressing room. You don't harness any team spirit in any sport by coming out when teammates make a mistake. And that's what it was. It was a mistake. It wasn't the worst decision in the world. He put himself in a difficult position, Ronald Araujo, with a bad pass. He then had a very, very quick player bearing down and go. What do? You don't want to have 5 seconds to go, oh, I'll phone a friend. You got to make a decision. He tried to lean on him. He then tried to lean on him, hoping to put him off and, you know, gives away a it could have been a penalty and he would have saved himself a sending off. But the referee decided it was a smidge outside the box and he goes. So it's not the most egregious, poor decision I've ever seen. If he punched somebody or two-footed somebody or did something utterly stupid, then that's different. But he didn't. And for Ilkay Gundogan to come out and say, oh, this is just stupid. It's cost us. It's basically what he said. Mm-hmm. It's cost us. I think is completely the wrong avenue to go around because the best teams keep it tight-knit. When everybody makes mistakes, and everybody does, people miss chances, people give balls away in the middle of the park, goalkeepers don't come for crosses, and defenders make bad decisions. And when that happens, you keep it in here. That's how you foster. Do you hear Real Madrid doing that at the moment? They've fostered a spirit at Real Madrid with the injuries and the players they've lost, and they've got it together, and they're in the Champions League semi. They're going to win La Liga, probably. And they've done that not by airing all their dirty linen in public. And that's what he's done.
This is a veteran. This is a guy who's won everything domestically. Surely he knows better.
He does. But I think Ilkay Gundogan, and we have seen this from him before, because following first El Clásico this season, he was very adamant in how disappointed he was with the reaction or lack thereof inside the locker room, that he wanted to see disappointed players. And in fact, what he saw, guys that didn't seem to be as affected by the result, the outcome or the performance as they should have been. He said it back then. I imagine that he was asked specifically about the red card, and he went with, honesty is the best policy. I'm going to tell you exactly what I believe, and disregarding those codes and ethical values that Ronald Araujo is referring to. My problem with this, and you just mentioned he's a veteran, right? This is a locker room that, because of the way it is made up, you have the young guys and you have the much older guys, veteran guys. If indeed you're going to go after one of the young guys, and Ronald Araujo would be kind of the leader, one of the leaders of the young guys, then you also have to go after one of the veterans. And in this game, specifically, there is a very good example of that. When Vitinha is about to shoot the ball on target, ends up being a goal, Robert Lewandowski is the one player that can step out and actually close down the space. And he slow jogs it. He slow jogs into position to where maybe you can make an argument that he's making a challenge, but he really isn't. So if indeed you're going to make a statement in which you hang out Ronald Araujo out there for everybody to criticize, you also have to then be sort of an equal critical player and say, what about Robert Lewandowski? Mm. And that's where you have a problem. Because you can't pick and choose who is it that you're going to criticize within the team. And that's why you don't begin this process. And if you're Ilkay Gundogan, what are you gaining here in being, as I suppose we like it because we have something to talk about, but as a team, what do you gain? That didn't resolve an issue on the day, and it hasn't resolved an issue during the season. The last thing I'll say about this, I think he's bringing this up because he's been seeing mistakes from Araujo, from Jules Koundé, and really all of the back line for Barcelona throughout the course of the season. And he's saying, I've had enough. I've been asked about it. I'm going to tell you what I think about it. And he didn't think enough in terms of what the impact could be in the locker room.
Just 1 second. The problem is that he's frustrated, and I don't agree with the fact that that's the right way to do it, because that frustration is not going to help airing that in public. But I don't think he... never mind frustrated. I get the feeling he doesn't respect him, but he made the move. It was his choice. He wanted to go to Barcelona. Maybe he's getting a bit of sun on his back that he wasn't getting in Manchester. But he's certainly not getting the performances, and he's not playing...
What's the sun got to do with anything?
Well, when the football's not great, at least you're getting a bit of nice weather. Manchester, great football, crap
rain,
weather.
Rain all the time.
Fish and chips, rain, dull and dreary. Barcelona, a bit frustrating. Nice beach, lovely sun in your back. However, and we were talking about this earlier when we did a live class, the build-up to the classical show, was, did you ever hear him call out one of his Manchester City teammates in public? Mm. And somebody can prove me wrong and bring Saham up. But if that was, you know, we talked about it, Vincent Kompany, a big, strong centre-half and a leader. Unless Vincent Kompany, and I don't remember this, ever went through his Man City career without making any mistakes, he never ever called him up, did he? Mm. Never went to the press and said, well, Vincent Kompany's cost us this big game, Vincent Kompany's done this, or whoever it may be. He never did, because he respected his teammates. And here I think he doesn't respect them, in my opinion, and he's also given them a lack of respect by saying this.
Just before I go to Ian, what should Xavi do, if anything?
Not a lot he can do. What do you mean?
To address this. Do you drop him?
Xavi's not giving his stuff. Xavi's gone.
He's on the beach. He's on the beach.
He's not
already. He's on his back.
One leg on the beach, and he thought he'd one leg back at Barca.
That's some long legs. Ian, are you surprised how public this has become?
Yeah, I am. Well, not really. No, it's a good story for the journalists. It's a show of disunity ahead of the Clásico that Barcelona don't need, especially coming off the kind of defeat they had against Paris Saint-Germain the other night. I mean, I'm with Craig, really. Gundogan has thrown Araujo under the bus, hasn't he, here? Quite plainly, really. He's basically said he shouldn't have done that. He should have tried to let the goalkeeper make a save, or even quite happily give away the goal. At least it's still been 11 against 11. No, they've got to be tight. There's got to be a siege mentality. And I think, you know, he's not going to win too many popularity contests with the other players. One or two have gone on Instagram and said, without naming him, Look, we win and lose as a team, and that's right.
Oh, Ian's all over Instagram. Oh, loves the gram.
There he is. What if we call out bad internet? Is that not being a team player?
Yeah, exactly. Don't come out and criticise the internet. What sort of game were you expecting on Sunday?
Oh, hopefully a good one. I mean, we talk about big games. I firmly believe this is the biggest club game on the planet. Mm-hmm. You know, one that travels the world globally. It's the biggest for me. I mean, people may argue about, you know, South America and different places, but... And there are some big games, but this is the one. It just feels like hasn't quite had the anticipation this year because of Barcelona's season. Mm-hmm. Don't forget, until recently, well, it was a few weeks now, but Girona, we had down as the nearest challengers, and they've taken a bit of a falter, and Barcelona have stepped up. So I'm expecting an open game, because what are Barcelona going to do? A draw is no good to them. Defeat certainly no good to them. So they've got to, in some sense, go to the Bernabeu and at least take it to this Real Madrid side. If you're going to go down in this season, and yeah, it looks like they are, go down fighting. And maybe we'll see that from them this weekend.
Let's take a look then at the predictions. How does everyone think this is going to go? We heard Luis Garcia actually earlier on today on our Clásico special say that he thought it was going to be a Barcelona win.
Craig, I thought Barcelona was going to bring the right attitude and mindset and all of that.
You're going for Real Madrid victory as well.
Well, yes, because there's been some conversation as to what the mentality and the physicality of the midweek would do against Real Madrid. And I would say, well, I can make that same argument about Barcelona. And if you have both teams that are struggling physically and mentally because of what happened in the midweek, I imagine that it's best to go with a team that is, that is carrying positive momentum into this match. And they have a unique opportunity, Real Madrid does, in delivering what I would consider to be the death blow for Barcelona, given no chance. No chance whatsoever. It'd be a great story. Maybe you're back in the title race. No, you're not. And we're going to do it here at home. That's a powerful position to be. I think Real Madrid will thrive in that powerful position, and they beat Barcelona 2-1.
Don't fret.
Yes, sir?
You've still got one more shot, at least, before this game kicks off.
Yes.
To get Luis Garcia to change his mind.
Never in a million years. Never in a million years.
I think you've got a chance.
No, not a chance. Not a chance at all.
You reckon?
You reckon a draw, Ian?
Yeah, I think so. Barcelona are unbeaten in 10 games in La Liga, and they've not conceded, I think, in the last 6 games. It's kind of like Xavi's last stand, isn't it? It's Barcelona's fight, really, to save their season. It's dead if they lose this. The big plus for Real Madrid, if they win this game, they go 11 points clear. They can rotate their squad around the semi-final with Bayern Munich. So that's perfect for them. But I think Barcelona, you know, I remember a couple of seasons ago when Real were on their way to the title and Barcelona came there and won 4-0. I think Aubameyang was kind of in a starring role that day. So, it, you know, seems longer ago, doesn't it? But, I don't know. It's just a punch. You never know. As I always say, predictions are there to make fools of us. But, I could see Barcelona getting the draw.
For a lot more on El Clásico, we recorded a Clásico special along with Gemma Soler. Luis Garcia joins us as well, along with Craig and Ali. An hour long,
Full hour. Full hour. Commercials.
You can check it out now on ESPN+. Now, if you're in the Los Angeles area and want a fun El Clásico experience, make sure to check out Downtown Disney Live Stage and Lawn, where La Liga legends and celebrities will be in attendance and will also be the broadcasting centre for ESPN Deportes' El Clásico coverage. Meanwhile, Liverpool are in action this weekend as they're looking just trying to sort everything out between now and the end of the season. Mo Salah's had a bit of a nightmare, hasn't he, Valet? He has scored 2 goals, both of those having penalties. Of course, that big miss yesterday in the Atalanta game. Yeah, I did see it. My goodness. That could have changed the whole outlook of how that second half was to play out. For more on this, here's Jurgen Klopp.
I'm not particularly concerned. That's what strikers do. That what happens to strikers. That's how it is. We have to go through this. He has to go through that. He's the most experienced, one of the most experienced players we have in the squad. We will go through that. But that's pretty much all. It's not that Mo didn't miss chances before in his life. That's part of the game. Now, the penalty was super convincing. It was a super penalty, and then the next chance, obviously, that was unlucky, but it's not the first time that he missed a chance like that. I don't make a bigger story of it. What you make of it, I have no influence, obviously. No, but I'm not particularly concerned.
Should he be concerned?
About what?
What he's just talked about. Salah's form.
I switch off with you. Honestly, it's the same. Oh. I just call it off.
Oh, all right, Pep.
Yeah, because the season's unravelling. What am I going to say? His form since he came back, which we sort of, Salah's that is, not Klopp, was kind of attributed to the injury and the African Cup of Nations and the coming back injured from that and blah, blah, blah. And it's just going to take time to get back up. But he hasn't looked his old self. He just hasn't. And it's either something sublime from Salah, sublimely good. Just you go, wow, where'd that come from? Or you just go, oh my God, how has he scored so many goals?
Yeah.
It's a great goals for Liverpool. There just seems to be no middle ground with this guy at the moment. He's either really on form or he's off form. And unfortunately, he's not the only one at Liverpool at this moment in time, but he's one of the key ones.
Yeah.
And it couldn't have happened at a worse time of the season for his manager.
That's the thing, isn't it? The timing of this, Ian.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he doesn't look himself since that injury at the Africa Cup of Nations. Came back, he looks flat by his own comparisons. He doesn't look that sharp. Having said all that, it wouldn't surprise me in the least if he got a hat-trick at Craven Cottage this weekend.
Mm. Yeah, that's the thing, and you never know when this might turn things around. But it's interesting, we're looking at a game against Fulham who could take points off this Liverpool side.
Yeah, I mean, themselves and Arsenal now have got themselves in a little bit of a pickle, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that puts the pressure on, the fact that there's no leeway now. You know, they were top of the league, now they're not, and so were Arsenal, and all of a sudden, this is good old City are up there again. So that piles the pressure on, and, you know, I think some of the flaws of this Liverpool squad this season are starting to come through, and again, that's unfortunate for Jurgen Klopp, but if I was going one way or the other, I'm in the camp that they'll at least this weekend pick themselves up and go again. I just don't think they're going to have enough to go all the way with City.
What do you think's more likely? Than to get things together, finish like a train? Or...
what was the second option, please? I think they get themselves up.
Right.
And I do think, in the case of Mohamed Salah, what's frustrating with him in particular is that he'll go 85 minutes where he looks like less than an average player, where the ball is just bouncing out his feet, where he's just having turnover after turnover after turnover. And I believe that Stevie has learned how to kind of ignore that, knowing and expecting that in the end he's going to get you the game winner. Well, what's happening is that you're getting those 85 minutes in which he's having turnover after turnover after turnover, but that game-winning goal is not coming. And so then all the frustration, all the built-in frustration and built-up frustration just shows up, and you understand that this is a team that if it's not Mohamed Salah, and you're then leaning on Darwin Nunez, and with Darwin Nunez, it's like, oh, please, please, Lord, please keep it on target, and it doesn't quite happen. And so then you start looking for options, and seemingly you're running out of options for Liverpool. I think they pick themselves up. I think they finish strong, but certainly they win this weekend. I cannot see a scenario by which Liverpool are not able to win this weekend and at the very least put some pressure on Manchester City and let them know that they're not going away.
You were going along pretty well there until you said Stevie has learned not to shout at the TV. Well, we know that. Come on. That's a stretch.
I tried. I tried,
of course,
Stevie.
In action on Sunday. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Arsenal taking on Wolves will reflect on. And, of course, Chelsea against Manchester City in the FA Cup. Some news around the Bayern Munich job. Of course, Julian Nagelsmann was linked to go back to Bayern after the European Cup this summer. However, he has signed an extension now with the German national team, so he will not be Bayern coach next season. Could it be Zinedine Zidane? He's been linked to a move to the Bundesliga.
Oh, who's that guy?
That's definitely not Zinedine Zidane.
Well, he's some hair. Yeah. He's put a bit of weight on.
What? Oh, wait. Oh, I was taking shots.
Julian Laurent says no, he's not going. There we go. But still read the article.
All right.
Not going where?
It's a Bayern.
All right.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. But if you want to see more of Ian and his perfect internet, yeah, be sure to stay tuned as Extra Time is next. Craig and Ali here as well. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your questions. Craig is here, Ali as well.
It looks as if he's been, it looks like he's been questioned by the police, doesn't
he? Ian's thinking, I just want to get through this. I want my internet to work, and then I can go to bed.
How come there's all, you know, whenever, like, I mean, most people these days, including Ian and Don Hutchinson, who's had well-renowned trouble with the internet, most people have pretty good internet.
Right.
You know, I would imagine. There's one or two cheapskates.
Okay. So is this, you're suggesting Ian's gone for the basic option?
No, why do we have these problems?
What are you asking me for? I'm not in charge of the technical problems, am I?
Boosters are the way forward.
Boosters are the way forward. Well, there we go. Ian, does Coventry City beat Manchester United this weekend?
I think they make a good argument out of it. I mean, anyone who says they know what to expect from Manchester United in any given week is lying to you, because I don't. They allow their opposition to pour through their midfield. They give up so many shots on their own goal. Coventry City, I mean, United, of course they are, but Coventry are a useful side. They're not far off the playoff position, so I think United will win. That has to be the logical pick, but Coventry have got a chance because United are vulnerable.
There we go.
Ian has to have a limit of about 10 seconds in his answer.
10-second answers?
And that's it.
There we go.
Because
just do that for everyone.
Yes.
Boom, 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 boom. Off we go home.
The internet fails at 11 seconds.
I'm not sure if you saw Extra Time yesterday. There was some mocking of your tweets. The one that I have to question is, what has the Green Mile done to you?
Was you in yesterday?
No, I wasn't, no.
So who was mocking my tweet?
K, Stevie, who was that? Shaka as well.
All right.
Oh, that's it. Right. Note them down.
Nothing better to do.
Well, apparently.
They're the Europa League special.
But I do have to ask, what's the Green... You said, I'm over the Green Mile.
Yeah,
now.
I finally...
This is the movie, in case you haven't seen it.
I finally hit the cliff.
Well, but why?
What do you mean, why?
Well, because I don't understand what the Green Mile has done to you. Why do you have to watch it?
Well, because it's on my go-to channel at home.
I see. And that
I'm
was
not
it.
Watching the news and I get bored of all the political stuff.
Yes.
Occasionally we do.
Yeah.
I just press this other channel. It's a sort of go-to for ease.
Right.
And usually there's a lot of repeats of films on.
Yeah, classic films.
Not
yes.
that I don't have all these other streaming, Disney Plus, Netflix.
Hulu.
Yes, yeah.
The live TV.
Yeah. Very good one. Very good one.
I have to then come out, so I just go to.
Right, okay. And Green Mile was on, and that was it.
Green Mile was on, and I was for about the eighth time in the last week, a couple of weeks, I was watching it, and I just got to the end. When John Coffey was.
Oh.
And the guy never put the.
The sponge.
The sponge. Yeah. When you never wet the sponge.
Right, that was
well,
it.
I did watch
that,
it.
That was you watched it anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. They're mocking my tweets, were they?
Yes, they were. Yeah,
Shadows.
It was very funny. Does Madrid gain much of an advantage by switching their game to Friday before playing Bayern? Should Bayern do the same? Because La Liga have decided to give Real Madrid as much time as possible.
Well, and that's Bundesliga's call, I suppose. And I imagine that Bayern Munich could potentially request that. And whether Bundesliga honors that or not, I don't know. And I don't know that leagues look into this and say, I don't know if Bundesliga looks into it and say, well, this gives Bayern Munich a better opportunity, or if, or are they just saying, well, this is the schedule and this is the sort of deal that we have with TV companies, and so.
What about the fans? What if I was going to go to Madrid and watch this game?
They'd start throwing all these tennis balls, chocolate oranges. What is it they throw on?
Chocolate oranges.
I know. Oh, yeah, here's
chocolate coins.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. How do you know they want oranges?
Well, because they look like coins.
Ah, it's protest again in Germany. They're throwing stuff on. Fan power. All that sort of stuff.
Oh, look at those guns.
Hello.
What?
Hello. Hello.
Stevie's not in today. You should let Ian go on a Pompey rant. Pompey, of course, got promotion, Ian. Craig was very rude. He said, I don't know why people are congratulating Ian. He didn't play.
Oh, no.
That's absolutely right. I'm keeping this to 10 seconds, by the way. And all I'm going to say is, play up, Pompey. It's been a long slog in the lower divisions, and they've done it. Great. Brilliant.
There you go. See?
There you go.
Ian,
that is the key.
Perfect. Ian, shut up. Allow me to say that the man that did say that was the man who just repeated it.
No, I would never say that about you, Ian, and horrible Pompey. And Southampton could get promoted as well, so isn't that lovely for the South Coast, Ian?
Portsmouth v Southampton coming next year, Dan.
Oh, no. Right. Real Madrid have won the Champions League 5 times in the past 10 years, but only 2 La Liga titles. City have 1 Champions League title, but 6 Premier League titles. At the end of the day, is the Champions League more important to and valued by Real Madrid than by City and Premier League teams?
That is a convenient rhetoric. If you don't win Champions League, but you win your league, then the fan says, because we value our league more than we do Champions League. However, if you win Champions League, but not your league, then say, well, Champions League is our priority. And that narrative changes depending upon what you do on a specific year. How about you win both of them and we don't have the conversation?
As someone who lived in Madrid, I have to say that the Champions League is definitely put on a higher pedestal than it is for English clubs, I would suggest.
Yeah, but we were asking, this question was asked 2 or 3 years ago now to Steve McManaman when he was over, and he said that Real Madrid would rather win the league.
Well, what does he know? What does he know what he's talking about? McManaman.
Yeah, teams like Chelsea winning the Champions League the year they were way off the pace in the Premier League.
Yes.
Well, I would say that approach of the Premier League teams is also the insular view of the Premier League, in which...
Oh, no, not the insular view, not the farmers. The farmers are up.
And then everybody else.
Do I mention Italy again?
Ian, let's go back in time.
How can Italy...
What was the first game you ever called?
It was for a hospital radio station in Portsmouth against Middlesbrough. And Middlesbrough won 4-2. Yeah, I did it with the local fire chief. I don't think anybody heard it.
Oh, brilliant. Can we ask what year that was?
Oh, goodness me. Oh, somewhere in the 1970s.
Fantastic. Very good.
Did it with the local fire chief.
Yep, there you are. I used to have a show on hospital radio. Well, that'd cheer everyone up.
Do you remember in Wales when they thought I was the fire chief?
Yeah. Yes. How can I forget?
On call.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember that?
Yes, I do. Yes, they wanted you to do a digital hit, and you said you're not.
Fire brigade.
No. I did not say I'm not doing it.
No.
They changed the time of the digital.
Yes.
And I said no.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, we changed the time of it. And I said, am I on call?
Yeah.
Expect me to, you know, fly down a pole and do a digital?
Very busy.
Yep. Busy man, I was sleeping.
What was the first game you did? Do you remember?
Commentary?
Yes.
Would have been a Scottish game.
Right.
No, actually, I tell a lie. Would have been for Capital Gold, as it was. I don't know if it's even changed its name.
Right.
Or whether it's just, but it was for Capital Gold Radio. And it might have been Chelsea Man United.
Oh, wow.
With Jonathan Pearce, as he was at the
time.
Back when I was in my early 20s.
Were you still playing? Early 20s?
Yeah.
Really?
I was suspended.
Wow.
So they asked me to do the game. I'd never done a commentary before. So I think that was the first one. I was nervous as hell.
Were you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But these guys have been even... I mean, Capital Gold was quite big back in the day.
So did you... Did they come to you and say, look, will you do
Somebody
this?
Asked the club and, you know, who's not playing, obviously.
Who's got a big mouth?
Yeah.
Who's suspended? What a surprise.
I was very much a novice then. Who's not playing, who's available?
Right.
Him and him. And you know how I got it? Because the others couldn't speak English.
Oh, there you go.
Neither can you.
Teeth in or out for the commentary, to make it authentic?
In.
You've always got... That's the trouble with you.
What about you, Ali?
There's a level and you always jump over that.
What was your first game?
Mexico, Denmark in Arizona.
Oh, yeah?
Friendly match.
In English or Spanish?
English. With Fernando Palomo.
Ah, oh, there you go. At least you didn't have to do much.
No, he did a lot of the talking, or most of it, actually. Maybe all of it.
My first game here, I did Germany, Azerbaijan. That was the level that I was on when I first came when I was doing commentary.
Oh, wait a minute.
We haven't moved much. Was it not the under-21 tournament?
Oh, yeah, what was that? Me and Stevie did that. I can't remember the one in France.
What about the game Shaka did years ago?
And he got grumpy.
He failed to speak.
Trinidad Tobago were losing.
And that was the end of that?
Yeah, that was it.
Because so, you did, when you were at Real Madrid...
Yes. You would have hated my commentary so much. It was so sycophantic.
But that's how they've got to be, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
And if you're not, is there somebody that... pulls your
shirt. No, not really. I'm very much at the standard to what it should
have
been.
Do you know what? I don't know if you've noticed this. Can I swear?
No, you can't, Craig Burley. This is a family show.
It was.
What do you mean it was?
I can see my producer mate's now going.
Right. He's saying no in my ear.
Very no.
Yeah. Are you getting a no in your ear?
Very clear no.
Listen, He told me the show was starting at 5:30.
Okay, right. Oh, right, what's the problem?
When you say...
Yes?
You know what really annoys me? A lot of things annoy me.
Right, good, right.
With your PSG ways...
Yes.
With your Man City ways...
Yes.
With your Liverpool ways...
Yes.
That infuriates me.
But I haven't said that today.
Not today.
Right, okay, are we going... Right, this is it's like Denise. Memory like an elephant. Remember when you said...
Just get receipts. Receipts.
No, but you do it. You always do it.
Okay.
That. Oh. Nathan's on with your Man City.
But you know now I'm going to say it more.
Because I just think to myself, this is not club TV.
No. No, it's not.
It's not.
No.
So they should not be coming on...
Right.
...with a preconceived idea about these clubs. So when you say that...
Okay.
I have to take a breath.
In that manner.
And if you keep doing it, I shall probably swear on live TV at some point.
Okay, but it's not like I've just done it.
I've done it for 10 years.
But Ian's loud, isn't he? Ian's allowed to get excited about Pompey.
Yeah, but what do you mean?
Well, you're saying that everyone should just be objective, but we've just saluted Pompey's achievements.
Yeah, but Ian, when Ian's doing his work, he's very objective.
Right. Okay.
We turn this into some sycophantic parody of club channels. That really.
No, I don't think we do because I think we.
No,
want...
I think we do.
No, I think
I think we do. Right. We come in here and it's like, I'm not on a club channel.
No, I know that. But when Liverpool lose, people want to hear from Stevie, don't they? And I don't think that there's any propaganda or spin that we put around it. It's just interesting because we know how much his heart is in Liverpool.
I think it's time for you to take another deep breath. Just, you know, go in the anger management mode.
And I say this about everybody. His job and everybody else supporting the club, their job's not to have their heart in that club when they're doing this job.
Right.
Everyone has to be the same, whether we like it or not. What are you
doing? It's a lot of people. A lot of them.
And I know Man United fans, I have a shoe on them, and... We'll get a Man United. I tell you what we need to do. Get one of these ex Man United Muppets on here. They're all ambassadors. So we need somebody. We try and be as objective. Oh, let's get on.
Ian, when you commentate on Portsmouth, is it harder?
No, not really. Just like Craig said, you leave any support at the door to the commentary box, I think, because you probably overcorrect. Some of my friends, when I commentated on Portsmouth, when they were in the Premier League, said, God, you're a bit hard on us. So I probably overcorrected the other way.
I could bring my Chelsea hat in here if I wanted, but I don't.
Right, OK.
Right.
All right.
With your Chelsea
I don't know
what,
how we got there. I don't know
well,
what
he brought it.
I'll tell you how I got there. Because I was looking across at you, and I thought, where should I go?
For Dan, ever thought of stand-up comedy or theatre or something like that? Your ability to wind people up is amazing. Keep it going.
No, it's not.
Thank you very much. It's beautiful. Just luck.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's luck?
Let's be honest. You don't wind me up. I don't know if you wind Al up. You don't wind me up.
I don't.
It's all water off a duck's back to me. But you do what you...
He bites.
Stevie gets me.
Yeah,
Stevie
bites
me. And then it becomes some sort of stupid argument.
I could be in the theatre. I was Willy Wonka in the school play.
Oh,
big piece about me in the local newspaper.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing.
And how was your performance?
It really was.
People were talking about
it. They still talk about it these days.
Oh, see, it runs in the family then.
30 years on.
See, it runs in the family.
People were like, yes, exactly.
You couldn't be on a stage. How would they see you from the back?
Oh, dear, that's not nice, is it?
That's all right.
You have to have a spotlight on you.
That's okay. You'll see you all right at the moment. Is Bayern still playing?
I feel better at myself. I saw the Granada manager when we were doing that.
Oh, yeah, when he celebrated and
he had a big old,
and he saw everything.
Big old Roger Miller.
Final question, is Bayern still playing Manchester City? No, they're not.
Oh,
no, they're not.
No.
That was a mistake I made, Ian. It's very difficult when you do hundreds of hours of live TV every day. You know, and mistakes are going to happen.
It was a doubling down on it.
Yeah.
I said, yeah.
It's not. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a bit like
it's not quite the Pelé doubling down.
We are.
That is it. That brings us to the end of the show. Ian, you can go to bed now. Thank you very much.
2 minutes late finishing this show.
We will be back tonight. I've got the whole day with Craig tomorrow.
Hey!
Be nice.
You're the big winner.
Don't even promo a time. Because we never get on air in time.
Okay, all right. Well, I wasn't going. When do I ever say a time? Time's not on there.
Don't even bother.
Okay, so we'll be back tomorrow. 11:45, we'll be with you for Chelsea against Manchester City. And then at 5:03, the show will be live.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.